And it is widely believed that King Solomon is the author of this book. This book adopts a cynical tone of life in general, proclaiming that all human endeavors are ultimately pointless and meaningless. The theme, all is vanity, is established in the book's opening verses. King Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, reflecting on the pursuit of wisdom and knowledge. Imagine this. The palace of King Solomon in Jerusalem is grand and it's opulent. It's probably adorned with intricate tapestries and golden candelabras and luxurious furnishings, reflecting the wealth and power of the king. He surrounds himself with trusted advisors and scholars gathered to hear his words of wisdom. They sit at attention, and King Solomon shares his reflection. He says, "I applied my mind. I have seen all things that are done under the sun. I have amassed wisdom far beyond all those before me." And he draws attention to the fact that he's tried it all. He studied it all. But what did he conclude from those amazing experiences? He said, "Everything is futile. It's like the pursuit of the wind. Pursuit of the wind is like us trying to grab a breeze when it blows or grasp a gust, and we know that that's impossible to do." And in chapter 2, verses 18 to 23, it actually gets worse. King Solomon says, "I hated all my work that I labored at under the sun because I must leave it to the man who comes after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool." King Solomon built an extraordinary kingdom, but he knew that one day someone would assume control of his empire and might ruin everything. That knowledge led to depression. Eventually, the fruit of our labor, too, will be left to someone who hasn't worked for it and who might wreck it all. And there's nothing we can do about it. Now, that does not mean that we should not leave an inheritance, but just keep in mind that once we are gone, we have no control over how it's handled. So make sure you're careful with who you leave it to. Yes. If we believe the reflection of King Solomon, that all human endeavors are ultimately pointless and meaningless, as disciples of Christ, how do we discover life's meaning and purpose? Human identity is often defined by what a person owns, not by what a person does. Society usually measures abundant life by large quantities and plentiful consumption. However, owning things and consuming things does not satisfy our longing for meaning. Juxtaposed against how society defines abundant life, let's pause and think about what Jesus teaches regarding this abundant life. The Bible discusses abundant life primarily in the context of spiritual fulfillment and relationship with God. I'm going to say that again. The Bible discusses abundant life primarily in the context of spiritual fulfillment and relationship with God. The Bible tells us that wealth, prestige, position, and power in this world are not God's priorities for us. Abundant life does not consist of an abundance of material things. If that were the case, Jesus would have been the wealthiest of men. But we know just the opposite is true. Jesus said in the book of John, the 10th chapter and the 10th verse, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And this verse emphasizes the promise of a rich, fulfilling life through faith. Jesus comes that people may have life in him that is meaningful, purposeful, joyful, and eternal. The word abundant in the Greek means exceedingly, very highly, beyond measure. It's more, a quantity so abundant as to be considerably more than what one would expect or anticipate. And it always points to something that exceeds the ordinary measure. In short, Jesus promises us a life far better than we could ever imagine. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." For life to be abundant, it must have abundant resources. And the only unlimited source of life is in the person Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Abundant life is spiritual life in depth. And without it, the Christian lacks life significance, and it can become meaningless. So let's look at a few points, key points, regarding abundant life. First, the abundant life is a yielded life. Romans 6, verses 10 to 13 reads, "The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey their desires. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness." Now, this passage emphasizes the believer's identification with Christ in his death and resurrection, highlighting the call to live a new life. It calls believers to present themselves to God as instruments of righteousness, highlighting active participation in living out faith. Our moral responsibility is to live in accordance with our new identity in Christ. The abundant life is a yielded life. Secondly, the abundant life is a life of service. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, on the basis of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, and perfect." In these verses, we are urged to take necessary steps for abundant living. The passage calls for a transformation through the renewal of the mind. This involves changing one's thoughts and attitudes to align with God's will. Now, some researchers report that the average person has about 6,000 thoughts per day. Others say it's between 12,000 to 60,000. Yet another reports our brain is a 3-pound universe that processes 70,000 thoughts each day. So even if we go with the lowest number, 6,000, that is a significant number of thoughts. God, our creator, who created our brains and brain capacity, instructs us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, transformed by the thoughts of our minds. Our life is shaped by our thoughts. Now, I am not saying 24 hours a day, we're saying, okay, I have to think about scripture, I have to keep my mind on God, I can't think about other things, what did this scripture say? That's not practical. Because we're living in this world, we work jobs, we're husbands, we're wives, we're mothers, we're fathers, we're members of our community. There's so many other things that we're doing. But what the Bible is saying is that the foundation of our life should be built on God. We should allow space in our life for instruction from the Word of God. Our life decisions and choices should be weighed by the Word of God. We should take into consideration, what does God have to say? So, even more practical, what is the application here? And someone agrees with me. These verses encourage us to reject conformity to the world's patterns and instead embrace a lifestyle that reflects God's values. We should care about what God cares about. Yes. We must remember that worship is not limited to a religious or solemn ceremony consisting of a series of actions performed according to a prescribed order, but it also involves everyday actions and choices that reflect a commitment to God.
Yes.
The abandoned life is a service life. The abundant life, I'm sorry, is a service life.
The abandoned life.
The third point, the abundant life is a spirit-filled life. Ephesians 5, 18 to 20 says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is excessive indulgence, but be filled with the Spirit. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for a little cultural background for this scripture, this was during a time when pagan worship was prevalent, and it also involved excessive drinking. So the instruction in this passage serves as a countercultural call to lead a life led by the Spirit. So what does that look like for us? We are encouraged to cultivate a lifestyle that reflects our faith through communal worship and personal devotion, committing ourselves to a deeper relationship with God. Having a relationship with God should be a priority for us as Christian believers. Now, these verses collectively call for a transformation in how we live, emphasizing the contrast between other behaviors and a spirit-filled life. So the abundant life is a spirit-filled life. And lastly, the abundant life is a mature life. In 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, the 18th verse, we are admonished to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This verse emphasizes the critical importance of spiritual growth for all believers and is described as a continuous process. It's a conscious decision that we make each day. The command to grow hinges on active participation in the relationship with Christ, highlighting that spiritual maturity does not occur passively. Instead, it requires us to intentionally cultivate our faith and engage with God's resources. A Christian's life should revolve around growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The abundant life is a continual process of learning, practicing, and maturing, as well as failing, recovering, adjusting, enduring, and overcoming. The abundant life is a mature life. And let me just add a parenthetical point here. Provision is also a part of the abundant life. Provision for whatever we need is a part of the abundant life. Although we are naturally desirous of material things, as Christians, our perspective on life must be revolutionized. True abundant life consists of an abundance of love, joy, peace, and the rest of the fruits of the Spirit, not an abundance of stuff. It consists of life that is eternal, and therefore our interest is in the eternal, not in what is temporary. Paul admonishes us in Colossians 3, verses 2 to 3, to set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. In summary, the abundant life is a yielded life, it's a life of service, it's a spirit-filled life, and it is a mature life. Spiritual nourishment leads to a satisfying life. Abundant life focuses on inner peace, joy, and a deep connection with God. Abundance is linked to living in accordance with God's will and experiencing His blessings. Living an abundant life involves cultivating virtues, serving others, and fostering community. It encourages us to seek fulfillment in spiritual growth rather than material possessions. So, what is the overall message? The Bible presents abundant life as a holistic experience rooted in faith, characterized by spiritual richness, and a deep relationship with God. God satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.